This is the Anaheim Ducks Post Game Show on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn.
Say, when the Ducks want fresh, healthy food fast, you go to Fresh and Lean. Fresh and Lean makes organically sourced meals prepped by top-notch chefs, ready in under 3 minutes. Plus, you don't have to shop, chop, or cook anything. Their meals are delivered fresh, never frozen, so all you have to do is heat and eat. Fresh and Lean delivered over 25 million meals nationwide, but they're locally based right here in Anaheim. Go to freshandlean.com to get $20 off your first order and free shipping. Fresh and Lean, it's better when it's real. Well, it's real. The final score here was Florida 5, Anaheim 3. Steve Carroll with Dan Wood. Josh Brewster going to join us soon, and we'll have Duck Calls coming up in just a bit. We'll have our play of the game coming up as well. And Dan, took a little while for somebody to score in this game. And after all was said and done in that first period, only one goal was scored, but it was a power play goal.
Yeah, the Florida Panthers pretty much seized control from the outset, and they were able to finally get a payoff on the power play at 11:31. Former Ducks defenseman Brandon Montour with a one-time drive from the high slot. Carter Verhaeghe in front of the net, able to redirect the puck past Ducks goaltender John Gibson. Verhaeghe with his eighth goal of the season. Montour and Anton Lundell with the assist. That was the only goal of the first period.
Then Florida increased their lead early in that second frame.
Yeah, originally the first Panthers goal was credited to Montour, but later changed to Verhaeghe on the second Florida goal at 2:51 of the second period. There was no doubt Brandon Montour gaining control of the puck, kind of circling back to the left point, spun and fired, and with some traffic in front of John Gibson, Montour gets credit for his fourth goal of the season. The assists to Alexi Heponiemi and Anton Lundell, that made it 2-0 Panthers.
But then the Ducks got hot there, so to speak. In a very short period of time, they were right back into the game, tying the game up.
Yeah, the Ducks have given up multiple goals in short periods of time on a number of occasions this season. But here, they turned the table, scoring twice in a span of 27 seconds. The first goal after Montour had made a nice play with a dive to break up a potential breakaway pass for Ryan Strome. The Ducks, though, able to recover the puck in the Florida zone. Adam Henrique with a nice little drop pass that set up Ryan Strome for a shot from the left point. Henrique, who had gone to the net, able to redirect it past Panthers goaltender Spencer Knight. So Henrique gets the goal. It is his fourth of the season. Ryan Strome and John Klingberg gets the assists. And for Henrique, all four of those goals have come in the past four games. 27 seconds later, the Ducks got the equalizer. Troy Terry carrying the puck across the slot. Lost control, but teammate Kevin Shattenkirk able to push a little feed across to Strome. At the bottom of the left wing faceoff circle, Strome had a wide open net. He hit it. For Ryan Strome, his fifth goal of the season. Shattenkirk and Terry with the assist. That made it 2-2.
And you had the sense as time dwindled down after 40 minutes of playing time. That next goal, whoever got it, would be in pretty good shape. So early in the third period, that's when our play of the game occurred. It's brought to you by PDF Tron. PDF Tron, changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. And let's go, Ducks. It was Florida that got the big goal fairly early in the third at 2:55. Sam Reinhart, the scoring hero for the Panthers, and here's how it sounded. Here's Florida. Shot from the point. Pat save. Gibson sprawled. They score on a rebound. And guess who got it? Sam Reinhart was in the perfect spot. Gibson down. Reinhart stuffed it into his left. And Florida regains a lead they had early in the game. It's now 3-2 Panthers.
Yeah, the Panthers came out and asserted themselves from the get-go at the outset of the third period, and it paid off in the go-ahead goal at the 2:55 mark. Just a wild scramble in front of the Anaheim net, and Sam Reinhart able to bury a rebound. For Reinhart, it was his first goal of the season. Ryan Lomberg and veteran defenseman Mark Stahl with the assists. That made it 3-2 Florida.
Sam Bennett would add to the lead. And that was a big goal because it gave him a little bit of breathing room there.
Yeah, the Panthers had had a 5-on-3 power play that the Ducks survived, but then on an ensuing 4-on-4 manpower situation, Brandon Montour fired a shot that was wide of the net, but a big carom off the end boards. And Florida's Aitu Luostarinen able to gain possession and feed in front, giving Sam Bennett a wide-open net. Bennett gets his second goal of the season from Luostarinen and Montour at 8:10. That made it 4-2 Panthers.
And we had one of those rare plays in the game of hockey, a penalty shot which brought Anaheim within striking distance.
Yeah, this at 18:46, while the Ducks were shorthanded. Isaac Lundestrom able to get a step on a defender and get in on goaltender Spencer Knight. A penalty shot whistled when contact was made. Lundestrom taking advantage of the opportunity to score his first goal of the season on a nifty backhand move, officially a shorthanded goal, the Ducks' first of the season. So at 18:46 of the third period, the Ducks were within 4-3, and seemingly, though still shorthanded, had a prayer.
Yeah, I don't know the last time I remember a goal being scored in the third period at 19:59 on a power play. And actually, when all was said and done, it really wasn't that important. Florida was going to win the game anyway at that point.
Yeah, they were. The Panthers, though, able to put an exclamation point on the victory with officially a power play goal into an empty net. Reinhardt with his second of the game, second of the season. Carter Verhaeghe and Brandon Montour with the assist. Brandon Montour, who in three previous games against the Anaheim Ducks did not have a point, he made up for that tonight with a goal and three assists.
I just want to remind you, the Ducks will host Minnesota here on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, 6:30, our pregame show on Duck Stream. We're going to take a break. We'll bring Josh Brewster in. We'll each get our chance to say what we thought about this one, a Florida 5-3 victory over Anaheim. And that's ahead on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn.
On the ice or in the boardroom, winning depends on teamwork and strategy. PDF Tron provides businesses worldwide with tools to process digital documents by increasing efficiency and reducing time spent and money wasted. PDF Tron is changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. Stop sitting in the penalty box filled with paper documents and get out on the ice with high-powered digital document processing. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks!
From the electricity out on the ice to the roar of the crowd in the stands, there's nothing quite like Anaheim Ducks hockey.
Terry backhand scores! Troy Terry!
And this season, you can be there live to cheer them on. As the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the NHL, Ticketmaster has you covered with the largest selection of seats at a wide variety of price points. So get off the couch and get into the stands. Grab great seats to see the Anaheim Ducks today at Ticketmaster.com/Ducks.
There was this guy who had a close circle of friends. They did everything together. They threw dinner parties, went on fishing trips, hung out at the beach. They were inseparable. But then one of his friends got in serious debt. He needed money. So he set this guy up, framed him, and had him arrested. All for 30 pieces of silver.
Jesus was sold out. He gets us. All of us. Visit HeGetsUs.com.
Steve Carroll, Dan Wood, Josh Brewster back for this portion of the postgame show. And after we're done with this segment, of course, Josh will host Duck Call. So let me start with Mr. Josh Brewster. How did it look from your vantage point as compared to where we are? And we'll talk about that later.
Well, I have a feeling we were watching the same thing, Steve.
Yep.
And it was, no, they started strong. We talk about that. And I have to admit, the Ducks did start the game strong. Unfortunately, you know, there was an undisciplined penalty. Dmitry Kulikov, I thought, which put us at a two-man disadvantage. That didn't help. The third period, as Dan was talking about, was all Florida. They just came and took charge in the third period, and that was rough. You again have an issue of 40-plus shots against, which is not a good trend. You're last in the league in shots against. It was good to see Isaac Lundstrom get a goal. We did a lot better, I thought, making plays in the offensive zone, spending time in the offensive zone for stretches of time. But in the end, not quite good enough to topple the Panthers.
Yeah, and Steve, you know, for me, what stands out tonight is I think the Ducks took a step from late in the first period through the second. The Ducks played perhaps as well as they've played all season, and they were right there with the Florida Panthers. It was quite impressive, to be honest. However, as we projected at the outset of the third period, the Panthers, realizing they were locked in a 2-2 tie, were going to come out and were going to assert themselves, and it was up to the Ducks to stay with Florida. Anaheim could not do that. When Florida turned it up a notch, the Ducks simply had no answer. So we saw some good things from the Ducks, but there's another huge step to be taken, because when you're playing a team like San Jose, which is similar in terms of where it is in the development process compared to Anaheim, that's one thing. When you're playing an established team, the defending President's Trophy winners, the Florida Panthers, and the game's on the line, Florida turns it up, the Ducks unable to do that. So that's the goal, to be able to get to that point where you can stay with the elite teams, and the Ducks have a way to go to get there.
So, Josh, what do you want to see from the Anaheim Ducks on Wednesday when Minnesota comes to town?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's got to be a very disciplined effort in terms of staying out of the box, and, you know, the offensive zone time has to continue to go up, 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 and, you know, you've got to keep that playmaking, the driving the center lane and making plays, and I think tonight we saw a little more sticking closer together, guys moving better as a unit. But, you know, as Dan was saying, it's a long way to go before you can trade punches with a team like the Florida Panthers. So hopefully they can just work harder and harder in the offensive zone.
Yeah, and Steve, you know, the Minnesota Wild, somewhat similar to the Florida Panthers, have not gotten off to the type of start that might have been expected, but that is still a very talented hockey club. So the Ducks are going to have their hands full again against Minnesota. But I think if they go back and review this game, see where they went right and then where they were unable to go right, I do think they took a step tonight, and we'll see if they can take another one against Minnesota.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So we look forward to the Minnesota Wild coming to town, back to a normal 7 o'clock start time. That's great after all those 7:30 games up in San Jose. And we'll have the pregame show at 6:30, and again, the play-by-play at 7 o'clock. We'll all be here for that, Ducks and the Wild. Lots of folks to thank. Dan Wood, Josh Brewster, and, of course, our on-site engineer and jack-of-all-trades, Rick Cutler. Back at Skyview in the state of Arizona, Cash Hibbler. And, of course, Vic Pence, our on-site statistician. And thank you to the fans for tuning in. And we hope you enjoy the broadcast, despite the bad result that we had tonight. But things are looking up. We all agree on that. And we'll visit with you on Wednesday night. Stay tuned for Josh. He has Duck Calls coming up. And we'll talk to you on Wednesday night. Right here on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn.
You're listening to Live Ducks Audio. And we're here with a hot tip for sports fans. Check out TuneIn. This all-in-one audio platform brings together all the live sports you want. But what if you want to queue up some shows on your time? TuneIn also brings you the sports podcasts you love on demand. Listen to ESPN's full lineup of pods, great shows from CBS Sports, and so much more, all on TuneIn. Plus, because TuneIn's available on all your devices, you're never without something to listen to. Give it a shot. Check out TuneIn today.
A chart-topping banger in the best way to bring good vibes to your day. And on TuneIn's Today's Hits, we've always got our finger on the pulse of what's hot in music. Like the latest tracks from Dua Lipa, Harry Styles, Bad Bunny, and so many more. Soundtrack your day with a full selection, Today's Hits. So check out TuneIn, the app that lets you hear your world.
Between live hockey and sports talk, you listen to a lot of audio. We're here to let you know about TuneIn, the app that brings all of your favorite audio together. So whether you're listening to Duck Stream for live hockey action, breaking news from the sources you trust,
I think Mark is overreacting to this,
music for whatever mood you're in, or anything in between, TuneIn is the app that you need. Plus, because it's available on all your devices, you can take it anywhere. So check it out. Grab TuneIn on your computer or on your mobile device. Hear your world with TuneIn.
The hottest tracks from today's Latin artists make for a soundtrack that boosts your mood and gets you moving. And TuneIn, the all-in-one audio app, brings you a curated selection as part of our exclusive Latin hit station. Hear the best from J Balvin, Ozuna, Becky G, Shakira, and so many more every single day. Plus, you can go commercial-free with TuneIn Premium. So heat up your soundtrack now with Latin hits only on TuneIn.
Call in and join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks post-game show on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-940-2888 tonight. Panthers 5, Ducks 3. It hurts. It really hurts. You know, we came out at the beginning of the game, and I thought the Ducks really had a good jump. And I thought tonight, you know, as Dan was saying, I think they took a step forward with the way they played in the offensive zone. But in the end, Florida third period push, it was too much for the Ducks. And, you know, the Ducks did not have a lot of power play time tonight. Probably deserved a little more. They didn't get it. But, Florida took command in the third period. That's just the way it is. It's a club, even without Matthew Tkachuk and Aaron Ekblad, they've got a lot of guys who can really bring it, and the Ducks could not match as the game wore on. Again, a big shot total against, 48 shots against tonight for the Ducks, 19 in the third period. That really does speak volumes. I think it was great to see, by the way, great to see Ryan Strome have such a successful night. And, those two goals in 27 seconds apart, ultimately Henrique was awarded one and Strome the other. But that was great to see, and I liked some of the tic-tac-toe passing in the offensive zone, a little more direct-to-the-net approach tonight. But in the end, I still think some of the defensive coverage is not quite working. I know that the Sam Bennett goal at 8:10 of the – I think that was the one I was thinking about, 8:10 of the third – you know, three guys right in front of our net, and they're banging away and getting rebounds. Yeah, it was the 4-2 goal, Bennett from Lewis Starrion and Brandon Montour. Brandon Montour, hats off. He's developing into quite an NHL defenseman. I will be perfectly frank. I really hope that since Brandon Gouley is not in the NHL, unless I've missed something, I really hope Braden Tracy really becomes something. He was the pick, the first-round pick we got. It was the year in 2019 when we drafted Trevor Zegras. The 29th pick was Braden Tracy, and who knows? You might see him up here at some point this season. And but Brandon Montour was a lot of potential there, and he's starting to realize that in Florida. From our end, I thought that, Adam Henrique, he gets his fourth goal of the year. We need him. We're getting him. It's getting better for him. And it was really good, because I've mentioned this a number of times, really good to see Isaac Lundstrom get his first goal of the year on the penalty shot. It was late in the game, but that's all right. It breathed a little life, put a little bit of air into our sails. But it's good to see Isaac, because he's been struggling. He's been struggling in the shots department. But he got that penalty shot goal. Hopefully that will help boost him. Glenn Gauden made his Anaheim Ducks debut. 10th game in the National Hockey League for Glenn Gauden. He was in on the play doing some hitting early in the game. I like that. Max Comtois tonight. 5 shots on net for Max. 6 shots on net tonight for Troy Terry. Boy, Troy really is developing into quite a playmaker. But it was just not enough tonight, unfortunately. And, your goalie gets shelled. John Gibson, was that save Kevin Shattenkirk made on Sam Bennett? I thought it was Gibson reaching back with one of his pads, not quite like a pad stack, but just throwing that pad out there. It turned out it was Shattenkirk on that big save on Bennett. Gibson did have a big third period save on Alexander Barkov. Florida's a heck of a good club. They've disappointed in the way they've finished, but they certainly have not disappointed in regular seasons in recent years. So tonight it's a disappointing loss. I thought the Ducks were dedicated to coming out of the gate strong. You know, I made the comment before the game on the pregame. Game starts at 7:10, and, you know, you can say that every night, but we really needed that tonight, because when you take a look at last night, how, you know, and how we've started in general, but if you look at last night, and the potential was there to do, you know, even better and better in that game, but it was a slow start. We've been plagued by slow starts. I thought the Ducks responded to adversity well. Unfortunately, they put themselves in a down two-man, in a five-on-three situation tonight. I didn't like that. A little bit of undisciplined, but boy, the second period was one of the things you could look at that was better. The second period, I think the Ducks were much better, and we have not had many second periods where we outscore the competition, but we did tonight. They had a goal in the second by Montour, and we had the quick goals by Henrique and Strome. So, you know, we hope that we're trending in the right direction. It's, you're now 4-8-1, but we do have three more games on this homestand, so things could get better. You know, we're home. We've got two days between games for the next three games. So we're going to be home for about 10 days, and we're going to play four games, but we've got a little respite between there. Tough club, Florida Panthers, tough club, and they came in really needing a win after dropping one up the road in Los Angeles last night. Let's take a little break here on Duck Calls. I'm going to call my guest, Mr. Jonathan Davis from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio, and we'll dissect this thing and we'll talk NHL. And don't forget, 714-940-2888, Duck Calls on Duck Stream.
Join the coolest club in the NHL, the Wild Wingers Kids Club, presented by Chalk and UCI Health today. Your membership will guarantee you a spot at this year's Kids Club party. Plus, you'll receive an exclusive kit that features a Ducks lunch bag, Wild Wing bobblehead, t-shirt, and much more. Sign up now at wildwingerskidsclub.com.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit bpbi.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% mountain spring water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste. Sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% mountain spring water.
From the electricity out on the ice to the roar of the crowd in the stands, there's nothing quite like Anaheim Ducks hockey.
Terry backhand scores! Troy Terry!
And this season, you can be there live to cheer them on. As the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the NHL, Ticketmaster has you covered with the largest selection of seats at a wide variety of price points. So get off the couch and get into the stands. Grab great seats to see the Anaheim Ducks today at Ticketmaster.com/Ducks.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. Become an Orange Lions member today to receive the best fan benefits. Some perks include getting discounts on team store and concession purchases, exclusive access to member-only events, enhanced loyalty program, The Mighty, and playoff priority access. To learn more about the Orange Alliance, visit anaheimducks.com/join the alliance. anaheimducks.com/join the alliance. All right, my guest tonight is a longtime friend of this show. You hear him on SiriusXM NHL Network Radio, and you hear him quite often, and one of the key times you hear him is late night doing the wrap-up on an ice cap on SiriusXM. He does a great job. He's based here in SoCal, and he's a hockey guy from head to toe. John Davis, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Josh, I'm doing great, and how are you?
Good. Good to speak with you. Well, everybody's heard what I had to say. I thought the Ducks started better tonight. I thought they did a little better in the offensive zone, setting up plays. But it's another disappointing loss, a lot of shots against. But I'll give you an opportunity to give me your general take on this game, then we'll dissect it a little further.
Yeah, you know, look, the thing with Anaheim for me, Josh, is that, you know, really more times than not when they step on the ice, you're hoping that they can win. And, you know, they're a team that's going to be challenged every night. They, as you said, they gave it a good effort in the first period, and then things, you know, it kind of tailed off. Lillard got the two quick goals from Strome. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough sledding for them. And I think that really, you know, for the most part on most nights that, you know, Troy Terry and Trevor Zegras are, you know, have to do the heavy lifting. And it's a tall order to ask for these two.
Well, let's, John, let's drill into the shots against. It's just something I can't get away from. We talk about it all the time, but there's a reason. You're 32nd in the National Hockey League now, and you're if you came in 39.8 shots against every night, now with another 46, you're over 40, or you're at 40. And that's a big number, John. So why don't you talk to me about the Ducks' defense? You know, there's a lot in transition here. Lindholm and Manson are gone. Mahura is out. You're working in Klingberg and Beaulieu and Kulikov and Simon Benoit full time. So why don't you talk to me about the shots against totals and what you see there?
Well, I think that's more of a team thing than really just putting it on the six guys that are playing back there on a night in, night out basis. And
yeah,
so
you're right,
you know, with a team that's very, you know, that's still, you know, a lot of guys still learning the game. You know, these things are unfortunately going to happen. And, you know, this is part of Pat Verbeek's plan. You know, you're trying to, he's truly trying to rebuild this team, and you're going to have to get bad before you get good. And so it's frustrating from a Ducks fan standpoint. Look, I think the biggest, you know, surprise for me with Anaheim this year has been John Klingberg. And I think that it's hard for a guy like Klingberg, who's played in a system in Dallas for so long, and to come to a new team, and, you know, expectations are high. But this is a whole new ball game for him. And I think it's been a big adjustment for him. You know, and then the other thing on the blue line, you can talk about just, you know, the amount of shots this team gives up, but, you know, here we sit and Dmitry Kulikov's the only blue liner with a goal. That to me is shocking.
Yeah, you know, that really is. If the Ducks, when they've had good clubs in the past and in recent years when they've had a good run of luck, it has been goals by defensemen that have helped fuel the success. And, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes I'll see Klingberg struggling a little bit at times adjusting to this club, like you said. But also, you know, Cam Fowler, his point total is very low as well. And I'm still a big believer that he's one of the most underrated defensemen in the game, but comes into tonight's action with just one assist. And Kevin Shattenkirk is still looking to get his first goal of the season. And it is a surprise, because you would think that if we could – you know, maybe it's the offensive zone time that we're not getting, John, because you would think that if you had a better presence on a regular basis in the offensive zone, and you're spending more time in the offensive zone, then guys like Klingberg or Fowler or Shattenkirk could uncork some more of their creativity. We spend a little bit. I'm wondering if the situation with Klingberg, it also extends to Fowler and to Shattenkirk, quite honestly.
Well, absolutely. But this is, you know, what I'm talking about when you've got, you know, you're putting the heavy lifting on Terry and Zegras and that's tough. And so, you know, when you've seen this roster change and you no longer have Getzlaf and you no longer, you know, have Raquel, you know, those are two guys that could have taken a lot of the pressure off, you know, Terry and Zegras and Strome. And so you've got a lot of guys that are really should be playing second line minutes that are being pressed into, you know, playing more than maybe they should be at this point. You know, Zegras averaging, you know, 19.5 and Terry averaging 20. You know, Ideally, you know, you wouldn't want them, I don't think, at this point to have to play those types of minutes, but that's what they're forced to do right now. And so you don't really have, you know, that elite guy. I mean, what, you've got 12 goals from Zegras and Terry. You have a bunch of guys with four. But at the end of the day, you're relying on the kids, and it's a lot for them to have to do. And so I think these lean times that we're seeing, and, you know, it's unfortunately going to continue. I mean, look, Josh, you can't, you know, you can talk about the shots and the numbers don't lie. The other number that doesn't lie is this team has four wins, which is more than a couple of other teams that are below them, but they don't have one in regulation yet. And that's kind of disturbing.
Yeah, that is. And I also think that special teams is playing a role there, you know, never really accomplishing anything on the power play, and you're not padding, you know, you're not able to pad a lead or to develop a lead. And the special teams, mm-hmm. I think, is very much I think it's revealing when the power play struggles like this. And I think that special teams is definitely, you know, holding the club back.
Yeah, well, look, and I will say, in fairness, the Ducks should have one regulation win. It was poetic justice that they won that game against Toronto in overtime on a beautiful goal by
right,
Zegras.
Right,
but that's a game that
right.
should have been done in regulation.
You're right.
Right. But, yeah, look, I like what Pat Verbeek's doing. I think this team is going in the right direction. I think the biggest question that remains is, for me, Josh, is, and look, you're a lot closer to the situation than I, but, you know, it's been a struggle for John Gibson, but I just kind of wonder, you know, when you look at where the Ducks' path is to success, how long it may be down the road still, I still wonder if, you know, at some point that John Gibson doesn't even find himself in another uniform, because I think they could, you know, there's definitely more assets that this team could add.
Very interesting. You know, I'm also the first guy, John, honestly, to tell you to throw out the numbers on Stolarz and Gibson. If you're looking at John Gibson as an asset, that's fine. But I think that when you look at the big saves that he and Stolarz have made, you've certainly, mm-hmm. I think one of the Ducks' strengths is their goaltending. But again, you're taking a lot of shots against every night. But if you're talking about as an asset, I think what you're saying is interesting.
Yeah, I'm not talking about a guy who's diminished. I mean, his numbers don't look great. I think that, you know, people have seen enough over the years to know what John Gibson can be and what he is. And I think that the Ducks do have strength in net. I mean, I'm a big Solars guy. So I like, you know, where this team, I think, you know, the future is bright between the pipes for Anaheim.
John, let's talk about the Matthew Tkachuk situation. This club that we face tonight, of course, subtraction. Of course, Aaron Ekblad is a subtraction. He's been injured before. That's not unusual, and he's quite a defenseman. But Matthew Tkachuk did something last night. Two-game suspension for putting that stick into the cage on Jonathan Quick. It was a very dangerous play.
It was stupid. I mean, I don't think there's really – I think that's – I was stunned when I saw that. I mean, look, Matthew Tkachuk is a guy that, you know, we've seen over the years plays on the edge, but that was just downright just dumb. And, thank God he didn't cause a serious injury to Jonathan Quick. So, you know, it's two games, and it's a $100,000 fine. It sends a pretty decent message. But, yeah, I was very disappointed to see that because that was very malicious.
But John, you know what's crazy about it is that it's crazy. But it's crazy because this is a guy who can. I mean, this guy could be a 90 or 100 point performer any season. You know what I mean? It was just such a dangerous play. I mean, so many things could have gone wrong there. I mean, it's not hard. You get that stick in there. That's not hard to watch something go really wrong. By the way, I want to halt the proceedings for just a moment here, John, and you can comment on this. I want to say rest in peace, Peter McNabb. I'm so sorry to see you depart this earth. Such a good guy. Talked to him so many times. He's done duck calls and always a warm and engaging guy. And he was, you know, he took his broadcasting career as seriously as he took his career in the NHL. And he was he was a damn fine NHL player, and he really was a great guy. And to the whole, to David and the whole McNabb family, all my condolences. I'm so sorry to see Peter McNabb go, John.
Yeah, salt of the earth guy, and Josh, the one thing that I'm grateful for is that, you know, that he was able to fight this battle, and he saw a Stanley Cup for the Colorado Avalanche last year.
Yes,
and so I think that, you know, at least he got to see that before he passed. Just a phenomenal human being. Battled as hard in the to fight cancer as he did on the ice. And I echo your sentiments. Absolutely.
All right. Hard to pivot from that, but let's move on to some NHL stuff. John, I'll tell you, there's something brewing in Winnipeg, and you know, Connor Hellebuyck. You're talking a guy who won the Vezina Trophy a couple seasons back, and now he appears to be back at the top of his game. They've got a new coach in Rick Bowness, and the Winnipeg Jets are sitting in second place in the Central. They're behind the Dallas Stars. They're going to play the Dallas Stars on Tuesday for at least a brief period to be maybe the top team in the Central. But, boy, they've started strong in Winnipeg, John.
Yeah, you know, Josh, I'm not buying them. I'm really not. Connor Hellebuyck, that game last Sunday night against Vegas was as good a goaltending performance as you'll ever see. They were being outshot like a billion to eight, and somehow they eventually got themselves up 1-0 in the third period. But, you know, look, I look at their losses. You know, I've watched most of the Jets games this year. You know, and they've got, you know, they lost that Vegas game, which they had no business getting it to overtime, but did. They lost to Toronto on home ice. They've lost to Vegas twice, and they've lost to Dallas. I just think that, you know, Connor Hellebuyck is going to have to be, in my opinion, their best player on most nights. I don't know. I'm not buying them yet. Their record is what it is, and they're in a good spot, but I'm looking at what lies ahead for them these next couple of games before they get, you know, before they host Anaheim. It's Dallas, Seattle, and Calgary. We'll see if maybe Calgary can turn things around. Seattle's playing some great hockey right now. I'm not buying Winnipeg yet. I'm still not buying them.
Interesting, interesting. All right, well, let's go through a couple others and let's see what you're
sure.
buying. Edmonton Oilers. I was watching the Edmonton Oilers last night get kicked around by the Dallas Stars, and I got to tell you, Jack Campbell, the goaltender that they picked up, you know, they gave him $5 million a year. I got to tell you, he looked asleep, and he admitted today. He said, "I was pathetic." He used the word "I was pathetic." I give him credit. He was very honest. But you've got a little situation there, at least for now. The money is going to say it's Campbell. But, boy, Stuart Skinner has an opportunity here. His numbers are basically 50 times better. I can read them to you. They're 50 times better than what Jack Campbell's done thus far. But it's an interesting goaltender situation for an Edmonton club that rightly has, you know, some substantial expectations, as they should.
Well, look, if things could have been different last year with contracts, I think Stuart Skinner most definitely would have been up with the Oilers last year. But they couldn't find a way to make that work. Yeah, no, he has been excellent. Look, the issue for Edmonton coming into the year was still there was a question on the blue line. I think, you know, we expected better from Jack Campbell and rightfully so. But yeah, he has not looked good at all this year. But, you know, look, they still don't have a number one D. You know, you look at that blue line with Nurse and Barry and Bouchard and CeCe and Kulak. You know, you've got guys that are really a bunch of twos and threes. I think that there's still a legitimate concern there. They've tried to rebuild up front, but right now, look, there's a big, you know, look, Connor and Leon are doing great. Zach Hyman's, you know, over a point a game. Nugent Hopkins is over a point a game. Kane's at a point a game, but they're, you know, look, our good friend Kyler Yamamoto who played some of his youth hockey out with the Junior Kings. I mean, he's got sitting on 3 points and been a huge disappointment. Jesse Puljujärvi, another guy that they were counting on and trying to even, you know, to move is sitting on 2 points. And so, yeah, the depth scoring is becoming an issue. I mean, Connor's, you know, in a world of his own right now, with 12 goals already. But yeah, look, I think some of the concerns that we saw with Edmonton last year are still lingering. I still think that they're good. They're going to be one of the top three teams, in the division, but yeah, there's still work out there.
Well, let's talk about whether you're buying the New Jersey Devils, because everyone who was buying a ticket to see the New Jersey Devils at the opening night of the season was screaming to fire Lindy, Lindy Ruff, the coach. And, I don't hear fire Lindy anymore. And you're talking guys like, the Devils are on top of the Metro, and you've got Jesper Bratt at 17 points. And now Nico Hischier and Jack Hughes, obviously huge draft picks for them, and they're producing. And, you know, I'm wondering whether you're buying the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah, I am. I mean, you know, I really like what I see. And I think, you know, people are going to start to see more from Jesper Bratt and Nico Hischier and realize, you know, how good these players are. I mean, Hischier is, I think, will be one of the best two-way centers in the NHL in years to come. This is a guy that is really committed to that 200-foot game and is showing you why he got that big deal, you know, the $7.25 million deal. You know, Bratt is still trying to get that long-term deal, and right now, every time he scores, I forget who it was, someone was joking that, you know, they should start playing like the cashier register in New Jersey every time he scores, because that's what's happening. Yeah, they're good. You know, their problem early on, Josh, was that they just weren't getting goaltending. They couldn't get a save. And now, look, they ran into a problem over the weekend when Mackenzie Blackwood went down. I have not read an update. I don't know if something came out here on Sunday. If it did, I missed it. That's definitely a concern. He got hurt in that Oilers game, and Vitek Vanacek came in and gave up a goal in his first shot and then, you know, held course the rest of the way. But, you know, for anyone, you know, if you got to see that game against Edmonton when they were down, you know, 3-2 and in 7 seconds they made it 4-3, they looked fast. They made the Oilers look slow at times.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation there in New Jersey, and I have a feeling that they may be for real. Hey, let's talk about highly touted draft pick Shane Wright. It's an interesting situation. Darren Drager has reported this week that you can expect Shane Wright to stay with the Seattle Kraken. They may send him to World Junior or something. But, you know, it's interesting, John. I always try to remind the audience how young we draft in this league, you know. And you know, they're figuring, look, he's not going to gain anything going back to Kingston of the OHL, but they want to keep him around. There might even be a loophole for him to go to the AHL, but I don't know the particulars of that. Regardless, it's interesting because he's, you know, they thought he'd be the first overall pick. He's on the cover of the Hockey News. He goes to fourth. That happens. He's a big pick. So, you know, I'm just reminded, John, that we draft so young. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do. And look, for him to go back, Josh, the only thing that I would say that would help him out is that the guy missed a year of hockey, you know, because the Ontario Hockey League had shut down.
Right.
And he decided
not to
go elsewhere. So he lost a year. I mean, that's pretty significant. So, you know, if he's not going to get the ice time, and, he got to play, his last game, he played 13:45 against Minnesota 2 games ago, and that's the game that Jared McCann was out. But then you look at their game on Saturday, Josh, and he was back to 8:42. You know, so I don't know. Look, I would be of, I don't think it would be such a bad thing for him to go back, to be honest with you, and dominate if he's going to be playing 8 minutes a night. Now, look, I was told from a friend of mine who's well connected in the Seattle organization that, you know, he was struggling in the training camp. And so it wasn't, you know, when I was seeing what was going on, you know, during, you know, in the regular season, it didn't catch me so off guard, but, you know, I was just told he was having a hard time adapting to the game. But as you well point out, 18 years old, the guy's got a bright future ahead. And the only reason that Josh, he fell to fourth is that, you know, once the Canadians decided that they were going to take Slavkovsky, when you were looking at the needs of the teams that drafted 2 and 3, it didn't make sense for Shane Wright to go 2 or 3.
That's no, absolutely. And in fact, I think I remember at the time even Wayne Gretzky gave him a call to say, hey, kid, don't worry about it. You know what I mean? So let's double back to the hometown heroes here, John, before I let you go. Speaking of, you know, drafting young and guys who get a crack at the NHL, and here's a guy who spent time in Europe as a young man because there wasn't an opportunity in North America, Mason McTavish. He's got a goal thus far. You know, he comes into tonight's action with a goal and 6 assists, and I think he's been good. I mean, he's obviously got a lot to learn in terms of the NHL game, but let me get your impression of Mason McTavish, because the club is very committed to this one, and he ain't going anywhere.
No, he ain't, and there's a lot of reason to be excited. But, you know, look, I think the situation – in Anaheim, I mean, it's far different than what's going on in Seattle. I mean, Seattle, they have to win. Like, they really need to legitimately be fighting for a playoff spot this year. You can't go 2 years, I don't think, with an expansion team and not be able to give your fans some, you know, more reason to come back. In Anaheim, we're talking, you know, let these kids develop together. I think it's great. You know, look, to date myself, Josh, you know, I look back to the Atlanta Braves when they let Smoltz and Glavin I can't even remember the third pitcher anymore, but they let those guys develop together. And I think that I love what I see from Mason McTavish. And I think, you know, this is a guy that, you know, does well at the dot. And I think that, you know, he's not out of place. He doesn't look out of place.
Yeah. No, indeed. I would agree with that. It's he's not obviously going to blossom into the full NHLer that we're going to see, but you can see that he is willing to go to the net. He's a big guy, and he's got a lot of skill. He's just going to have to work his way up and up and up, and that's going to take a few seasons for sure. All right, Jonathan Davis, thank you so much for joining me on Duck Calls tonight, and I always love listening to you on Ice Cap and all the other times when you're on Sirius XM. You do great work, and I really appreciate you joining me tonight.
Always a pleasure, Josh. Take care. Be well.
All right. Thank you, John. All right, folks, 714-940-2888. If you want to give me a ring here in my last couple of minutes, we can talk Ducks. We can talk NHL. Boy, they're stocked, the Florida Panthers. I'm surprised Sam Reinhart only has 2 goals. He is an empty netter tonight for Florida. It's not easy playing goal for the Ducks right now. That is for sure. We really need to get some help or give them some help. The shot totals, I keep coming back to it. They're just kind of staring at me in the face here. Okay, let me give you a couple of scores here before I get out of here. The Detroit Red Wings had a very good weekend. They beat the New York Islanders and the New York Rangers on the road. Red Wings go up to 7-3-2. Dominic Kubalik got the overtime game winner for them. Pius Suter and Matt Luff also scored for Detroit. For the Rangers, Kaapo Kakko and Mika Zibanejad. And Rangers are now 6-4-3. They've dropped a few, but the Red Wings had quite a weekend. It's another club that had quite a weekend. It's the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they toppled the Carolina Hurricanes in Carolina today, 3-1. And Kelly Yarncroc, John Tavares, and William Nylander scored for them. For John Tavares, his 8th goal of the season. And here's a name that you'll remember. Stefan Nazan got his 2nd goal of the year for the Carolina Hurricanes. As you remember, he spent an early chapter of his career here. But he's getting a full-time opportunity in Carolina, and he's making the most of it, Stefan Nazan. Just to give you a little preview of tomorrow night before I get out of here, the Flames are going to visit the Islanders. The Blues are going to visit the Bruins. The Oilers are going to visit the Capitals. Boy, that Blues-Bruins tilt. Ryan O'Reilly and the St. Louis Blues are on the ropes, folks, so we'll keep an eye out for that. Now, from the Ducks' perspective, I think this homestand, it could be a good one. I really think it's good that there's two days off between each of the games. This is a club that just played 9 of the first 12 on the road. They've got to feel pretty good about how they played tonight. It's a step up and a step up. And John is right. you really can't get away from the fact that there is a rebuilding. You can call it rebuilding on the fly, or you can call it whatever you want to, but there's a brick-by-brick process here. Last night we spoke with Craig Button about the fact that Pat Verbeek selected some defensemen, three of them, in the first two rounds of this year's draft. And so, you know, we're building brick by brick. I did like the start tonight, and that was really good. We've really got to get that down. And the Ducks came out and they started strong. We had a better second period. These are all silver linings. I know we lost the game. There's a lot to work on. It's not a little tweak here or there. There's a lot to work on. But at the same time, I thought the offensive zone time was better. And, you know, we did have a pretty healthy shot total of our own, 35. So that was a good sign as well. Okay, I will talk to you Wednesday. Let's get out of here. Thank you so much to Jonathan Davis for joining me on Duck Calls tonight. And thank you for listening. Don't forget to check out all the great programming on DuckStream. 24/7 Ducks, games, podcasts. It goes on and on, and it's all free on TuneIn. Have a great night. Go Ducks.
You love listening to live hockey, but what happens when you've got to hit the road? Whether you're heading to work, hitting the gym, or anywhere else, you can listen to Ducks content on all your devices with TuneIn. That's the all-in-one audio app that brings you top hockey, breaking news, your favorite podcasts, and so much more on all the devices you've got. We're talking smartphones, tablets, laptops, smart speakers, and even in-car entertainment systems. That way, your favorite audio and your favorite sports are never out of reach. Give it a shot. Grab TuneIn to take your audio with you.
If you're a real sports fan, and let's be real, since you're listening to this broadcast, you definitely are, then you have to check out TuneIn. The all-in-one audio platform brings all your favorite sports content together in one place. That's live broadcasts like this one, plus local sports talk. But it's way more than that. If you upgrade to TuneIn Premium, you'll get the best audio sports package available. With live play-by-play of every other NHL game and the top college football games.
The double pass here. Back to Hall. Got a bevy of blockers in front of him. Hall with a house call.
Touchdown. ESPN Radio, completely commercial-free.
That you can still wait and take a wait-and-see approach. But when you're 73-9 and when an argument
plus is ad-free music and news just to sweeten the pot. So, are you ready for the ultimate sports audio package? Check out TuneIn Premium now.
You're listening to Live Ducks Audio, and we're here with a hot tip for sports fans.